It's Tuesday, the 20th of August, and this is the Monocle Minute. Here are the stories we're following today. A political crisis looms in Italy as a vote of no confidence threatens to bring down the government.
So it's been quite interesting how Salvini does a lot of the shouting and a lot of the international headlines, but officially the power still lies in Conte's hands.
Plus, dark days ahead for Lebanon's economy. Why a couple of major department store brands are jumping into the second-hand clothing market. And how do Britain's politicians really feel about the possibility of Prime Minister Jeremy Corbyn? I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. A vote of no confidence in the Italian government is due to take place in Rome today, after the country's fractious coalition broke down. Matteo Salvini, leader of the right-wing Lega Nord, called for a snap election earlier this month following a series of spats with his coalition partners, the populist Five Star Movement. Monocle's culture editor Chiara Remella has been following the story. Chiara, this coalition was always a fairly unhappy family. What sparked this latest potentially fatal row?
So the discussion began, I guess, just over a week now. And the latest, I guess, straw in the debate was the discussions around the so-called TAV, so the high-speed rail link between Turin and France, and the fact that Lega always wanted it and Movement Five Stars always didn't want it. It's a discussion that had been going on for a very long time. One last vote and one last declaration from Conte kind of tipped the coalition into this state of chaos. However, we must remember that Salvini called for the snap election because it was a very favourable time for him to be doing so. His approval ratings were really, really high. And essentially, it felt like the right moment for him to be able to seize control of the country without having to be in a coalition anymore, or at least not with the Movement Five Stars, but perhaps with another force from the right of the spectrum.
And of course, in the middle of all of this is Giuseppe Conte, who seems to have done a fairly decent job of navigating what must be some fairly treacherous political waters. What do you think this will mean for him?
It's interesting that, because Italians, I think, often display some degree of sympathy to these figures that are somewhat neutral and perhaps less boisterous than others. So Conte has enjoyed some degree of kind of popular consensus over the last year. He's not a disliked figure per se, and there are many ways and speculations as to how the vote of confidence will go, whether the no confidence will be voted or whether Conte will have to resign himself. But some of the options and the many kind of ideas that are being floated around is that there could even potentially be space for a Conte twice, as in like a second Conte government, perhaps propped up by a different majority. This is to say that he is not a disliked character per se. It's just an issue of Salvini wanting to kind of elbow his way in. He's basically been the kind of de facto prime minister in terms of how vociferous and how boisterous he's been. But Conte has actually managed to always swindle back control at the very last minute, using also the authority that his actual position entitles him to have. So it's been quite interesting how Salvini does a lot of the shouting and a lot of the international headlines, but ultimately, officially, the power still lies in Conte's hands.
Chiara, it might seem a little bit rich saying this, considering we're sitting here in London today, but Italy does seem to be a country whose politics are in a constant state of chaos. What are the possible outcomes for today?
It's really interesting how this situation has evolved from something that we thought was going to be quite predictable just over a week ago. You know, Salvini calling for a snap election and probably swooping into government with a very kind of far-right government, and how the tables really have turned and how so many other options have kind of delineated themselves, so that some people have started discussing the potential for a Movement Five Star centre-left coalition that might even potentially bring the spoils of Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia party back into a potential ruling coalition that could bring another government forward. Naturally, the hypothesis that Salvini will get the election that he wants and that he will be able to form the far-right government is still in the cards. And genuinely, very few people know how the vote of no confidence is going to go.
Chiara Remella, thank you. To other news now, the leader of the UK's Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, has outlined his plans for preventing a no-deal exit from the European Union. Lance Price was director of communications for the former Prime Minister Tony Blair. He told Monocle that if a vote of no confidence in Boris Johnson's government were held, Jeremy Corbyn would still have a tough time being named caretaker Prime Minister.
There is the possibility that that vote of no confidence could go against the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, in which case the question would then be what happens next. Could somebody else form a government with the current makeup of the House of Commons? Labour's view remains that it has to be Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Labour Party, who forms that alternative government, although there are plenty of other people in Parliament, including some Labour MPs, who just don't think that's going to fly. So it looks as if, and I'm far from convinced that it'll play out this way, but it looks as if, were there to be a vote of no confidence, were Boris Johnson to lose, Jeremy Corbyn at least would try to form a government, and only when he failed would there then be the possibility of somebody else stepping forward.
Lance Price there. Lebanon is bracing for a further blow to its already struggling economy this week when ratings agency S&P reviews the country's financial prospects on Friday. There's been no word on what is expected, but financial services company Moody's downgraded it earlier this year and little has changed since. The biggest bugbear for investors is Beirut's debt, currently at 160% of GDP. That's the world's third highest. And Russian lawmakers are growing increasingly concerned over reports of foreign meddling in the country's elections and recent protests. Leaders from the country's lower house of parliament met yesterday to discuss the creation of a special commission to investigate possible interference in Russian affairs. The recent wave of protests are the biggest to hit the Kremlin since Vladimir Putin returned as president in 2012. Now to the United States, where two big department store names are jumping into the second-hand clothing market.
Historic U.S. department stores JCPenney and Macy's are wading into a new market, second-hand clothing. Last week, Macy's announced it is partnering with San Francisco-based ThredUp to sell used women's clothing and accessories in 40 of its locations nationwide, while 30 JCPenney stores will offer the same. Both retailers are hoping to get a piece of an increasingly lucrative industry. According to ThredUp, the fashion resale market will be worth $51 billion by 2023 and will eclipse fast fashion sales within a decade. But while both Macy's and JCPenney are hoping to lure carbon-conscious customers, they shouldn't lose sight of the fact that department store struggles aren't solely the result of the products they carry. Good service and better designed shops will also be key to mending their struggles.
Finally today, Monocle's editorial team looks at how the wind is increasingly changing when it comes to the importance of clean air in our cities.
There is a multiplying list of worries when it comes to the environment. With deforestation, climate change, and ocean plastic to name a few, it's difficult to know which concern to wring one's hand over at any given time. One problem in the ascendancy is air pollution in cities. It's a sign of the times. Our transgressions against nature aren't being felt just by squirrels and sea turtles, but by residents in wealthy cosmopolitan capitals. While the physical risk of living in some built-up areas apparently equates to smoking a packet of cigarettes every day for 29 years, there is another, more subtle problem connected to low air quality. According to new findings published today, bad air could be associated with higher cases of mental illness, such as bipolar and serious depression. Examining populations across the US and Denmark, the study found that exposure to polluted air during the first 10 years of a person's life, particularly in Denmark, led to a twofold increase in schizophrenia and personality disorders. While the results have stirred up some controversy in the scientific community, the findings ought to add momentum to the drive to clean up air in cities. More plants, fewer cars.
That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute will be back with the stories setting our agenda tomorrow morning.